The message this morning is titled, Unto God. And one of the first things I want to just kind of cover here is maybe just give a little bit of instruction on fasting. And you may be like, well, what is fasting? I thought, you know, only the biblical elite, you know, back in the Bible days and spiritual elite people only do that. You know, why are y'all calling a fast here at Grace Fellowship? And just to make a clarification too on that, you know, Aaron felt strongly from the Lord to do this. The leadership feels strongly to support it, but it's not something that's mandated. This is something between you and the Lord that you need to ask. And one of the reasons I chose to talk about this week is this is a great week coming up, leading up to it, to prepare your heart to ask God, is this what you want me to do? And how do you want me to fast? And what does that look like for me individually? So it's not a mandate from the church. I don't want people, do you know what they're doing at Grace Fellowship? They're telling everybody to fast. No, we want you to seek out God first and ask what it is He would lead you in doing during the fast. So that's it. It's not a mandate. It's not saying if you don't do it, you're less spiritual. If you don't do it, you're in sin. If you don't do it, you're disobedient. We encourage you, if you don't fast at all, anything, to still show up Wednesday night and come to the prayer meeting that night and the worship and praise that night. So we encourage you, however that looks to you and whatever God leads you in. It's not a mandate. We're not telling you you have to do it. But it's a great spiritual discipline, and we'll kind of look at it this morning. What is fasting? And really biblically, you know, some people can say, well, I'm going to fast my media or my TV time, or I'm going to do this. You know, I'm not going to do that the 3 days. Really, fasting, when you get down to the biblical nuts and bolts of it, it's abstaining from food. And that's what fasting is. When you look at it in Scripture, when you read about it, it just primarily means not to eat. And I wanted to look at three main forms of fasting here just to kind of give you an idea of what that looks like when it comes to not eating. One of the first ones, and I'll just tell you right now, I got a lot of my information out of Arthur Wallace's book, God's Chosen Fast. And there's two copies in that library right there. When you go in, there's a library, actually, if you don't know, right down this hall. And it's the second door on the left. And it's on that first shelf on the left right there, second row. But if you want to get it, it's a fantastic book to read. And I'll read some things out of it in just a little bit. But I got the information that he gives, what the three main forms of fasting is, out of that book right there. And some other information. It looks like somebody hung up some International House of Prayer things in the prayer room right down here, down on the hall there. It's the third door on the left right there, the prayer room is. But there's some things, you know, how to prepare your body, what to do during the fast, you know, types of fast. So if you're interested in doing it, that's a great book. You can check it out of the library if you want to. And there's some pamphlets hanging up on the prayer wall there that you can read and get some information. You know, just pray to God and ask, hey, what kind of fast, Lord, what are you calling me to? What's your chosen fast for me? So that's some information there, some books. There's plenty of books out. I think Bill Bright has a good one, too, on fasting. But I like Arthur Wallace a lot. That's a great book to read, and I encourage you to read that. But three main forms that he talks about in his book is the normal fast, and that is abstaining from all forms of food, but not from water. Jesus in Luke 4, when he went out into the wilderness and fasted, he fasted 40 days, and it says at the end of the 40 days, he became hungry, but he was not thirsty. So that means that he did drink water during that fast, but he didn't eat any food. He abstained from all foods. On that. So he calls that kind of the normal fast. That's drinking water, but abstaining from all food. And then the absolute fast is abstaining from drinking as well as eating. And that normally was for 3 days. And you can see in Acts 9, Paul fasted food and water for 3 days. Esther 4, she called the Jews and they fasted food and water for 3 days, you know, because they were about to be wiped out and annihilated. So she called Mordecai and said, tell everyone, let's fast for 3 days. So it was food and water that they fasted also. And then Moses and Elijah did some supernatural fasting. Moses, it said, that did it for 80 days. When he went up to the mountain and he got the tablets, the law from God, then he had been up there for 40 days, no food and water. He came down. They're down there. They got a golden calf. They're worshiping it. And so he throws down the tablets in anger and they break. And then he goes back for 40 days. So it's said that he didn't eat any food or drink any water for 80 days. He was sustained supernaturally by God. And then Elijah, the angels came, gave him waters in a jar and some bread, baked it on coals of fire for him. And he went for 40 days through the desert without food and water. So if you do these things, especially, you know, no food and water, it's, you know, your body needs water after 3 days or you're probably going to pass away. You're going to die. So if you do those things, you need to, of course, be in the right health to do that. You need, you know, consult your doctor if you have health issues. Hey, what kind of fast can I do? But you need to listen to the Lord. You know, just don't jump right into, you don't jump right into a 40-day fast of only water. You're going to have to prepare your body and your spirit for such a feat. And it's going to have to be ordained by God to do it. So make sure you're preparing if you do any one of these fasts. And then there's the partial fast, the third one. And the emphasis is upon restriction of diet rather than complete abstaining from food and water. So Daniel, in Daniel 1, he and his three companions, they ate only vegetables and drank water instead of the king's food. And they did that for 10 days. And then in Daniel 10, Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. So he kind of did just a partial fast there. He probably just drank water and ate, you know, maybe vegetables, and that was it. So those are the three kind of fasts. So you can do, you know, the normal fast, which is just fasting all food and just drinking water, and whatever days that could be that God leads you to do, that's what that is. And then the absolute is nothing for 3 days, no water, no food, or you can do a partial fast, which is what Daniel did, just drinking water and then just eating vegetables. So whatever it is, you need to, whatever the fast is for concerning food, make sure you study it, look into it, of course, pray about it and ask God about it, and ask if it's somebody that does it regularly that you know, pick their brain about it. Like, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking about doing. You can talk to them about that. So if we do believe fasting is for us today and not just for the spiritually elite, I wanted to pick apart a few things. You know, I mentioned, you know, fasting is primarily just fasting food. But you can also fast, you know, entertainment, media, fast whatever it is that gives you life, you know, that you run to instead of God sometimes. But if whatever it is that you do fast, I wanted to talk about the motive of it. And in God's Chosen Fast, Arthur Wallace goes over this. And I wanted to hit it a little bit there, because whatever we do, whatever we decide to do this week, it needs to be unto God. In Zechariah 7, 5 through 6, let me read that. And it talks about the motive of fasting here. He says, and I'm going to use the King James on this right here. It may come up there for NIV, but I'm going to read this. Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even though 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when you did eat, and when you did drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? And I think that's a great passage to think about before you go and say, I want to do that fast for this reason. I want to do that fast because it's good physically for me. I want to do that fast because I want to see breakthrough in my prayer. I want to do that fast because I want to see so-and-so healed. I want to do that fast for whatever reason, to see God's power move, to see stuff happen, to see this happen in my life. I want to see this prayer answered. I think you have to go to the root core of it all and ask, when you fasted, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? And God's chastising them in this day. They would fast, but it was always for their benefit, always something they wanted. And it was never unto God. You did it for yourselves, is what he claimed that they were doing it for, and never unto me. Let me read this out of Arthur Wallace's book right here. And he says it really well. So much of our thinking is ruled by that self-centered principle, what do I get out of it? What do I get out of fasting? Even in our spiritual desires and aspirations, self may still be enthroned. The cross must work in us if the life is to be God-centered. Even in circles where fasting is accepted as a normal spiritual exercise, there's often so much emphasis on fasting for personal benefit, for the endowment of power, for spiritual gifts, for physical healing, for specific answers to prayer, that the other aspect is all forgotten. God is not merely concerned with what we do, but why we do it. A right act may be robbed of all its value in the sight of God if it's done with a wrong motive. The danger of this is acute in the realm of the outward religious exercises. In Isaiah 58, it says, why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Ask the perplexed religionist of Isaiah's day. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasures. The fast they undertook with all their show of piety were motivated by self-interest and self-seeking. No wonder God asked, is this the fast I have chosen? So there has to be a motive to doing it. And what he's saying right here, don't just ask what I get out of it. Let there be the right motive for doing it. Not just for, and it's not that those things are bad. We're wanting to see the fruit of that when we fast, but it has to be unto God. And God in Isaiah was chastising them. You know, they were saying, we fasted, but you've not seen it. It's because you seek your own pleasure. You seek your own interest. So I encourage you, if you do this fast, look to have the right motive. Ask God, is this the fast you've chosen for me? Is this what you've chosen for me to do? Is my heart right in it? Do I have the right motive in mind? Or am I just doing this so that I can get something from you, God? Is it unto you? So check your heart in that. The right motive. Don't ask, what do I get out of it? Ask, is it unto God that I'm doing this? And so that's the motive. I just wanted to say that to encourage you. Make sure you're looking at your heart and the motive before you jump in to a fast. When you fasted, did you at all fast unto me? So check your heart in the motive there. And so as we look, if we have the right motive in our heart when it comes to fasting, if we've sought God in it, if it's something that God's leading us to do, we can look at some of the purposes of fasting. What is the good of it? You may ask yourself, why do it in the first place? We're doing it unto God. I get that. It's all for you, God. But also, what is some of the purposes, the why of it? And some of them that I wrote down here, we're looking for God's power. We're looking for spiritual gifts. We're looking for physical healing. There's answers to prayer. There's visions, freeing the captives, deliverance, revelation, freedom, breakthrough, God's anointing, salvation for those we're praying for, victory, direction. Arthur Wallace talks about in his book, even dreams. You know, it's been said that a lot of people who fast start having dreams from God. Like they'll actually have dreams and visions. A word from the Lord will come to them in a dream. One of the stories that he shares in there, I really like. It's, if you read the book, it's about a man in China, and he's addicted to opium. And God sets him free from that, and he becomes a great evangelist in China, just setting up churches. But his wife becomes demon-possessed after he becomes a believer. And so he sets into fasting for 3 days. He does the absolute fast, no water, no food. And at the end of that 3 days, he's like very weak and tired, but God says it's time. And so he goes in there and lays his hands on his wife and sets, cast the demon out. But it took prayer and fasting on his part. It's a great story. There's several stories like that. I encourage you to read the book. But just to see that, it took fasting for that to happen. So for us to see people delivered, sometimes we're going to have to, from God, when he calls us to fast for somebody. And even Jesus talks and told his disciples, this demon's not coming out except through fasting and prayer. So there's some benefits to it. The one thing that I wanted to point, those are some of the great benefits of fasting and praying. But when you fast, even like cults and false religions will do this. It sharpens, it does something to us as humanity. It sharpens our spiritual life. It sharpens something in us in the spirit. It connects us to God. With them, they're connecting with the wrong things. There's demonic activity, and they're fasting, and then there's a connection to the spirit realm in that way. It's demonic. But with us, when we're in Christ, there's a connection to God when we do it. And so when you fast and you abstain from things and you abstain from food, it sharpens something in the spiritual realm. It causes you to be a little bit more alert and sharpened and focused. And it helps remove the barriers and remove what it is that's hindering you sometimes. Two purposes that I would like to look at is union with God, or oneness with God, and consecration and personal sanctity. I kind of wanted to look at that. I kind of wanted to set a foundation here. You can investigate, the fasting and, how to do it, what God calls you to. But if we're not fasting unto God, and it's not for union with God and consecrating ourselves to Him, then we're not setting the right foundation for the whole fasting process. Let's look at John 17. And I want to read that to talk about union with God. John 17, 20 and 23. And this is Jesus here, and it's right before he's crucified. It's an interesting story if you back it up and look at the whole thing. Christ blows me away sometimes. It's like, here he is. Can you imagine being a disciple of someone and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, out loud, he just starts praying. Like everyone is hearing what he's praying right here. This is like one of his last prayers out loud publicly. And he had just, if you back up a few chapters, he's talking about the vine and the branches being one with him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. That you need to be connected to the branch. And he kind of continues on here and he starts this prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. And he's talking about his disciples there. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. He's praying this out loud. And there's a couple of points here. A lot of times you look at this and, oh, they're talking about, he's talking about church unity there. And a little bit of that he is. But as he goes on there, he's talking about, may they also be in us. I in them. May I be in them. May they be brought to complete unity, a perfect oneness with God. That's what fasting can help us do. As you fast and you abstain and you put away and you crucify the flesh and the self, you open up a doorway for unity with God more and more. He's praying it right there. He's wanting us to be brought into complete unity with him, a perfect unity with him. And fasting has the ability to help us get to that. Do we get up every day? And this is something that I've tried to learn to do over the last year. Start getting up. Do I get up each day with the thought, I need union with you, God? Am I organizing everything at that moment with my thought, I need unity and union with you, God? A lot of times I would get up in the morning and I'm already thinking before I get out of the bed, these are the 10 things I need to do today, or whatever it might be. Then I got my iPhone, and that was the first thing I went to for a while. Let's see how everybody's doing. Let's check this. Let's check some scores from my favorite team. Let me read this political whatever. And I would do that. And I started over the last year or so, when I get up, I try to remember to pray in the morning before I even get up. God, I give this day to you. And then I'll get out of the bed, and sometimes I still pick up my phone and look at stuff, and I have to remember, put that down. Or if I do pick it up, maybe I'm reading my devotion or something. But I'm trying to arrange my days where there's more unity with God. I want to have what he's talking about here, that perfect unity. I want him to be able to bring me in to unity. And if I'm not arranging my day in the morning, right off the bat, I lose it. We have to get up each day with the thought of arranging our day to have unity with God. And fasting can help do that. Am I organizing my day with that thought? Where do I draw my life and power from when I get up in the morning? Am I running to the things that I think will give me life and power? Or am I getting up and saying, Lord, I give you this day. I give you me. I consecrate myself to you. There are some things that get in the way of unity and union and oneness with God. And it's a three-headed monster. It's the flesh, the world, and Satan. Those three things are at odds with God. And they are the three things that will constantly barrage you and fight you to keep you from oneness with God. The flesh, which is the self-life, it's not your body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we don't hate our bodies. But the flesh life, which is independence from God, it's a resistance. There's, you know, in our men's group this past time, we talk about control, significance, and comfort being idols. It's that. Making life work without God basically is what it is. It's what I was doing. I'd get up. Oh, I'm going to look at my phone. I'm going to check some scores. I'm going to check the email. I got so much to do. Let's get it done now. Without even just the pressure, the striving. I'm like that. I want to get this done. I want to get it done now and quick. Without any thought to God at all through the day. That's the flesh, making life work without God. Then there's the world, and that's man-made systems. The pace of life, activities, content, comfort, being overwhelmed. You think about the pace of life that we have today is so ungodly. The content, when we look at talking about your iPhones or media, the content that comes through is overwhelming. And the enemy loves that. Oh, so-and-so's struggling when you get on Facebook, or this thing happened overseas. And you got like 15 things right off the bat that barrage you. The content. The pace. We got this to do today. I got this to do. We got to do this. Just never being still. The world is good at barraging us with that, the pace of life. Then there's Satan. There's the spiritual assaults, the accusations. He clouds your perspective, and he overwhelms you too. It's kind of like a fog. The fog of war just comes assaulting you with lies, with accusations, with condemnation, spiritual assaults. Probably the best one when you're in the middle of this fast is God's far from you. He doesn't like you. You've messed up. He can't be found. He can't be heard. Just the lies. And sometimes all it takes is the fast just breaking through. Just stop the pace. Stop the busyness. Stop being overwhelmed by content. And as you go through that, and as you fast those things or put them aside, you're like, oh God, there you were. You're right here the whole time. I just couldn't see you because of the fog of everything coming at me, my flesh, the world system. And Satan barraging me all the time. I just needed to set that stuff down so that I could hear you, so I could see you're there, so I could know you're there, could feel your presence. So if we choose union with God over the flesh and the world, union with God will dismantle the enemy. If you get up in the morning and you say, I choose this morning. If you're in the middle of a food fast this morning, I'm going to feed on you, God. I want union with you this morning. I'm hungry right now, but in this pain, I want you. Meet with me this morning. Instead of going to the content or the television or whatever it is that you've run to over your lifespan, and you know what it is. I know what mine is. Just running to it. Checking out. Like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to this right here and get a little bit of this. Union with God. We can choose union with Him. So what can we do to cultivate union with God? We can be intentional and present our life to it. It is an intentional thing that you have to do. When you get up in the morning, when you're in this fast, you have to have an intentional. Have a plan even. This is what I'm going to do when this happens during this fast. This is what I'm going to do when I feel like this. This is what I'm going to do when this person does this to me and I end up, instead of running to God, going doing this. Or when things get hard or when the pressure's on, I'm going to do this instead. I work for the post office, so it's really, when they say it's stressful, it is. It is. I work there, and I'm sure everybody has a job, and it's got its pressure points to it. But it's with the post office, I've been there since 95. And with the post office, it's a time thing. It's almost really done damage to me spiritually at times because I get into that pace. Because in the morning you're said, all right, you need to get back at this time. You got to do it. And so it's all day a pace. It's just like, let me go, 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 go. And that's what it's like working there. It's so stressful. And then you get out on the route, and it's just like life. Somebody is parked in front of the mailbox. There are trash cans in front of the mailbox, so I have to get out. City of Decoa is digging a hole in the road, so I'm going to have to go all the way around. The boss man didn't say that was going to happen. He said, just get back at this time. And it's just stuff like that all day. So the pressure mounts, and guess what? Michael explodes in anger. And I've been trying recently, just like, God, I give you everything. I give you this. I give you this driver that's going 10 miles an hour in front of me. I give you everyone and everything. I consecrate it to you. I'm trying to do that. I've been, since 95, just going around mad. A lot of times doing my job. Because of the pressure, the pace. And I'm not going to let it do it anymore to me. Intentionality. We present our life to union with God. When I do that, there's union with God. There's not anger. There's not cursing. There's not, oh, why is this happening to me again? It's intentional. I want intentional union with God. I consecrate it all to Him. And consecration is setting apart any person or thing to the worship or service of God. What consecration does, and this is a John Eldridge quote right here out of his book, Moving Mountains. And he really is the one that got me thinking about how to consecrate my day, how to go through the day, how to respond instead of react. And he got me to thinking about union with God. And he says, what consecration does is it realigns you with God. We are in a collision of kingdoms. And it takes intentionality to bring things under and into the kingdom of God. The fresh act of dedicating yourself, your home, your relationship, your job, your sexuality, whatever needs God's grace, you deliberately and intentionally bring it to Jesus fully into His kingdom and under His rule. That's what I'm doing out there, trying to more and more each day. Jesus, I bring this under Your rule. I bring this day under your rule and authority. I intentionally, instead of going to this, I'm going to intentionally bring everything, everyone and everything under your rule and authority. I consecrate my day. And one of the prayers I've learned is, God, I consecrate my body, my soul, my spirit, my heart, my will, all to you today. I want union with you, and so I consecrate myself fully to you. I give myself fully to you today. And so that's what it's going to take, I think, to set the foundation for fasting for us. Is it unto God? Is your motive not, man, I really want to see this happen? Even the good spiritual things that we long for and should long for, most of all, God, is it unto you? You're worth it. You're worth every bit of it. You're worthy of it. I want my motive to be right. It's unto you, this fast. You chose this fast for me, so I do it unto you. And is there union out of it? Look for there to be union with God. Consecrate yourself. Have the right motive in the fast. Consecrate yourself to it. Set yourself apart. Look for union with God above all things, everything. Am I doing this fast or whatever else it may be unto God and for union with God? Is what I'm doing getting me to that goal? Oneness with the Lord of life. That is really the core of it all for us. The Christian life is oneness with Him. Oneness with Him. Father, we come to You. We thank You. You're the Lord of life. This is not just some religious duty or function that we're doing. We really believe that You're the Lord of life. That You're present with us, that You love us, that we need Your grace and mercy. Lord, we need oneness with You. It's the core foundational thing that we need more than anything is a oneness with You, a complete and perfect unity with You, God. And I pray that for each and every one here this morning. I pray that You'd speak to us individually, each and every one of us concerning fasting, Lord. Lead us into that, Lord. Draw our hearts to You. Draw our hearts deeper into You and unity into You. Help us to have the right motive, Lord. May it be unto You. Show us how to consecrate our day and our moments and our lives, Lord, to set ourselves apart for You. And so I just pray, God, that You would do a work here at Grace Fellowship over these next few weeks, Lord, during this time of preparing for fasting and the fast itself. Show each one of us what You'd have us to do during that time. Speak to our hearts. We want to see a great and mighty work of You among us, Lord. We give You the glory even now, the praise even now as to what You're going to do, Lord. You know what breakthrough is about to come. And so we give You the praise for it. Breakthrough in each one of our lives, Lord. Lead us. Give us revelation, Lord. We want dreams. We want physical healing, Lord. We want direction. But most of all, we want oneness with you. Catch our hearts, Lord. Capture our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.